right, welcome back. Predictably Drunk, the podcast. This is smart people talking about stupid things once again. This is Sam Marcoux. Thank you very much for joining me again. First off, I want to say thank you to the very funny Steph Garcia, who was on the show last week. If you guys haven't listened to it, go back. It's on the website. Go take a look. It's on iTunes. It's on Stitcher. Everywhere you can find it. Steph and I talked about, you know, again, leave it to me to have two comedians on the show and talk about some very serious stuff like sexual harassment and infertility. But Steph Garcia is one of the funniest comedians in California, and I mean that. I absolutely mean that. I usually have comedians on this show just about every single week, and she is by far one of the few comedians that I'm not jaded to, meaning when she gets on stage, I leave the green room, I go join the audience, and I listen, and I laugh, and I have a very good time. She's a very, very funny comedian, and that's one of the things we talked about. She's not funny for a girl. She's funny for a comedian. So if you haven't listened to that, listen to it. She was very honest, very brutally honest about the type of shit she's had to deal with within the comedy world. Kind of opened my eyes up a little bit. So if you are interested in hearing a little bit about that, go back, take a look at it. The other reason I want to give her some credit is I did not even know this until afterwards, but she was gravely ill. I mean, she was very, very sick to the point where she should have canceled out. And if she had told me, I would have completely understood. But she is a champ. She's a mother of children, so she's much stronger than the most of us, especially men. So she toughed it out. She had a very good interview. I'm hoping she'll come back on. She has a huge show on September 11th at the SAP Center, which is where the San Jose Sharks play terrible, terrible hockey. And again, September 11th, big arena show, her first arena show. My guest is already laughing. I haven't even brought you in, Ed. Hold on a second. You can probably hear my guest laughing in the background. He is, well, I'll spoil it now. He's Canadian, so I think he appreciated that Sharks joke. So just go check out the show. Check out Steph Garcia. Again, she's all over the internet. You can find her on YouTube. You can find her on Facebook. You can find her on Twitter. She was on The View with Barbara Walters. And like I said, big show September 11th on the SAP Center. Speaking of big shows, I've added quite a few. I've been busy this week. I took a self-imposed break from the stage for about 2 weeks after a mini tour here of the Pacific Northwest. I got a little tired. I needed to spend some time with my child, which turned out to be a mistake. And the reason I say that, about 2 days ago, she refused to get up, refused to get out of bed. I had things to do. So I did what you're never supposed to do. And I woke up a sleeping child, which basically caused me irreversible harm to my face and soul. To this day, I think she's still screaming bloody murder. I think the cops were pretty much called by my neighbors, who thought I was probably throwing her down the stairs or something. But as it turns out, I was not kicking my kid's ass. In fact, she was kicking my ass, so much so that she threw a back headbutt like Bret Hart, Bret the Hitman Hart, that wrestler. He used to headbutt people. He had a big hard head. And I think my kid may be Bret Hart's kid because she headbutted me in the face. Almost knocked me unconscious. I'm not even kidding. She hit me so hard that I was woozy, and I had to take a step back. My lip got fat, and there was nothing I could do. So my child kicked my ass, and it's not the first time, and it won't be the last. But I lost a fight to a two-year-old, and I'm man enough to admit that I lost a fight to a two-year-old. So kudos to my daughter, who I don't think will ever have any issues with people, because I think she will probably just beat the crap out of anybody, especially if they wake her up, and she'll be able to defend herself. So she's got a hard head. If I sound a little funny, it's probably because of that. But that's not even the big news. The big news is July 3rd, the day before our nation's birthday here in America, 4th of July. Also happens to be my grandmother's birthday, the 4th of July. She'll be 91. But July 3rd, that Friday, I am going to be two shows, early show, late show, at Tommy T's Comedy and Steakhouse in Pleasanton, California. So doing five comedians for $5, which is a steal, because quite frankly, I'm worth way more than $5. And in this case, I'm only worth one. So you better get your ass there. Sit down for the early show. Stay for the late show. If I had to recommend one over the other, always go to the late show, ladies and gentlemen. And you know exactly why. So July 3rd, Tommy T's. Get your tickets. They're on sale now. $5. You get to see five comedians, including Ellis Rodriguez, who is, along with Steph Garcia, probably one of the funniest men in California. Steph Garcia is not a man. I apologize, Steph. That's not what I meant. July 3rd, also just picked up July 8th at the Sacramento Punchline. Sacramento Punchline is one of the premier comedy clubs in Northern California. I've been able to, lucky enough to do the show there 2, 3, 4 times. It's probably, I think, my 5th time at Sacramento Punchline. If you are in Sacramento, you have friends in Sacramento, show up, go there, enjoy it. I think those are $10 tickets, also a steal. And then I think July 15th, if I haven't announced that, July 15th at the San Jose Improv for the Summer Comedy Bash, which is going to be Kabir Singh, Comedy Central's Kabir Singh, Sammy Obaid from the Conan O'Brien Show, and myself. So I am in good company. I don't know how I landed that, but luck is on my side. And that's all the good news, ladies and gentlemen. The other news that I need to bring up, this is predictably drunk, and I always talk about what I'm drinking. I talk about the times I've gotten drunk, the problems that I've had on occasion when I drank too much. So I need to bring this up. I think this is relevant to the audience. This is relevant to you guys out here. This came out last week, and I'm just going to read some snippets of it. Now, the headline here, this is off FoxNews.com, so take it for what it's worth. But again, it's not necessarily a political thing. This is science. Your favorite beer might be giving you man boobs. That. All right, Ed, we're going to talk to Ed a little bit about this, but this is science, and this is money well spent. Okay. Sometimes we spend money on research that's bullshit. Like, you know, it turns out snow is cold, and we spend $4 million trying to figure out why snow is cold. This is what we need to know. I am a big IPA fan, right? I did a podcast where I talked about the top 5 IPAs that are out there. India Pale Ales. I love Pliny the Elder, Pliny the Younger, which are doubles and triples. But here's the thing. I'm going to read some snippets here. It might seem manly to drink beer, but a chemical found in hops might be the cause of some very feminine attributes. Hops, which gives beer its flavor, are female flowers of the hop plant and contain high levels of phytoestrogen, a plant estrogen. According to research conducted by acclaimed herbalist and author Stephen Harold Booner, you can't trust a guy with 3 names, by the way, but I trust him. Hops can also contribute to breast development in men and lead to a condition called brewer's droop. Now, you're probably wondering, now, what is brewer's droop? That maybe mean a saggy belly? No, it is impotence brought on by heavy drinking. That is quite possibly the most disturbing piece of news I have ever heard. We have terrorist attacks here. We have people shooting up churches. We have people shooting up schools. This is my bad news this week. It blows my mind. Men who drink a lot of hoppy beer, like strong India Pale Ale, may see some unwanted effects like man boobs, premature aging, sluggishness, tooth decay, hair loss, and a beer belly. Oh, and your dick isn't going to work. I don't know what to call this other than I thought this is what marriage was. They should just change the name to IPAs to marriage. But my God, man boobs and a penis that won't work to enjoy those man boobs. That's a horrible, horrible combination. So this week, the beer of the week for you, if you're listening, is water. That is the beer of the week. We are not drinking beer this week because, quite frankly, I thought I was drinking IPAs to deal and cope with my impotence and man boobs, but apparently I'm just creating the problem and making it worse. Go check this out. I put this link on my Tumblr page, which I guess that's news as well, predictablydrunk.tumblr.com. You can find it on there. You can find it on sammarcoux.com, which I actually worked with my webmaster this week, and we updated it. A lot easier to find information, tour dates, this podcast, pictures of stuff, articles, things of that nature. So that is all on there, including this podcast that you're listening to right now. And quite frankly, I think I've talked long enough. I need to get another opinion on this because that is shocking news to me. That who knew that drinking beer was bad for you? I did not know that. They don't teach you that in school here in the United States, which is I have my guest here. He is, he's not yet a U.S. citizen. He might be by the end of this show. I'm just going to read this because his manager sent this to me, and it's, I'm shocked that I'm getting these quality of guests here. Ed Roman is an award-winning singer, songwriter, performer, and multi-instrumentalist from Shelburne, Ontario, Canada. Ed is a 2014 Artist Music Guild Award nominee and a 2014 Artist in Music Award nominee. He's also a 2014 International Music and Entertainment Association Award winner and 2-time Indie Music Channel Award winner. Jesus Christ, Ed, I don't know what any of those things are, but it sounds fucking important. So congratulations to you. Recently, Ed traveled to Jamaica to deliver much-needed humanitarian aid to the island while shooting the music video for his latest single, Jamaica, which I think we're going to play at the end of this show. But my God, man, you are an award-winning singer, songwriter, humanitarian, international recording artist. What the hell are you doing hanging out with me?
what else can I do? I'm hanging out with you because, I don't know, you bastard, you called me.
That's true. I did call you. Real quick, one thing, I need you to clarify this for me. Your father was knighted in the country of France for wine tasting. Is that accurate?
That is accurate. He in Burgundy and Bourgogne, with the cattle business, we also were importing a type of cow from France that was known as the Blonde Aquitaine. It was a high-producing beef cattle. It grew very quickly. They were like having placid dogs as pets. They were such nice animals. And it took a year to bring them here. But in that process, being in France and hanging out with people, and I'm actually named after a man that the part of the cattle import business was part of. His name was Teddy Robitarme. So that's where my name comes from. And that was just in Burgundy. And all that connection to the wine area, my dad, just being an agriculturalist, he went to agricultural college. All of that was happening at the same time. And in the process, people had approached him because going to these cellars and being invited because the, you know, the cattlemen also had vineyards and all this other kind of stuff. They went, my God, you know, you have an impeccable palate. And eventually he went on to these tasting competitions where people realized, God, like, this is like incredible. And then he was knighted by the organization that was there in France, in Burgundy, and given this, I still have the cup, tiny cup. I don't know if you can see.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm looking at it.
This cup has different little tiers and lines in it and little bowls at the same time and bumps. And what happens is you pour the wine into this in a very small amount and you sift it around. And the actual collection of the sugars and the way that the wine sits in those little areas sort of indicates what in the presence of is going on as far as sugars and alcohol and that stuff. And that's just like a little thing to put your finger on. But see, the thing is, people think when you go to a place like that, that you just keep drinking. When you're tasting wine, you just take a little sip of it. It goes in here inside of the bottom part of your lip. You let your palate sort of taste it because there's many different layers in your tongue where the palate starts to actually taste the different things that are going on in the environment. And then you spit it out.
See, that's where I think we would lose each other right there, the whole spitting it out part. And you also got to be careful. When you held up a little cup and you said bowls and bumps, every comedian that's listening to this is thinking you're talking about something else. So to clarify, you maniacs, we're talking. Yeah, well, welcome to the world of comedy. So we're talking to Ed Roman. His website, edroman.net, because there's about 85 different famous Ed Romans out there, apparently, so he's got to go with edroman.net. You were just in Jamaica not too long ago filming not only your music video for the appropriately song-titled Jamaica, but you're also doing some humanitarian efforts out there. Talk about that. What were you doing over there?
Well, you know, the first time that we went, 3 years ago, we went to a resort just because we hadn't been anywhere in 10 years working so much, doing what we do. But in a very short period of time, talking with people at the resort that work there, from musicians to people that are cooks, because my wife and I, we grow a lot of food, and I come from a farming background, all of that made it very easy for us to leave the resort. And I'm going to call it the campus. It's nice. It's beautiful. It's sucking off the tit of humanity vibe. But at the same time, it's not what's really going on behind or outside the gates. And when you get out there, you realize the culture there is so rich. They're impoverished in many ways. I mean, a lot of Jamaicans don't have running water or a toilet seat, even for that matter. Hmm. But they have a cell phone, and that's their line of communication to the world and the, you know, 21st century. But to me, it's hard for me to go there, feel like I'm enjoying the moment and see that. And because of the times that we've been going there, meeting people, now friends have become family. My wife and I were asked to become godparents to a child. So that is our family connection, if you will, to our good friend Albert Easy and his family. That all made us start to do these barrel collection things. And it's very easy to buy a plastic 50-gallon shipping barrel as opposed to trying to send something FedEx or in the mail or something like that. And it clears clearance on the other side for a nominal fee. And we, what we do is we collect things from people, whether it's neighbors, family, or, you know, when you're out at a dollar store and there's five bars of soap for a dollar and pens and paper, and most of the things that we sort of take for granted, we stick in those barrels and we send down. Same thing with canned food or cereals or rice or any of that stuff. And it gets dispersed to people in the communities that are there. So it feels good to be giving back in that way. Also, for me, there's this huge musical connection just to the, you know, everywhere you go, music is paramount. You're talking about comedy and music being more important than comedy, and I love you for saying that, but to me, I see them as side by side fighting some amazing, incredible fight. But the music there is, if you're a musician and you're good at what you do, you're like greater than the king. To me, that means that the culture appreciates it. And it's the same thing for me being in the U.S. and playing so much over the last 6 months. And God, I love Canada and Canadians for that matter, but we're ultra conservative to a fault. And we've also gone by the wayside as far as how we support live music culture. It's far more active in presence as far as I can see. When I'm there and I'm playing and participating in stuff over week periods, and I'm like, wow, this is great. I wish this happened at home. You know how many times I've said that to myself. And the same thing happens in Jamaica, and it's nightly. It's like, on a porch on any given night, there could be 16 to 20 people sitting around playing music and talking politics and having food and drinking Red Stripe and rum. It's all like a part of it. And it regrounds me again. That's the other reason why I don't have a problem giving back in that way, because I feel like I'm getting more than just I'm sitting in a pool eating jerk chicken and sucking on a pina colada.
Now, did you notice that the folks that were drinking Red Stripe, the men, did they have larger man boobs than the people that weren't drinking Red Stripe?
Well, that's nothing new, because the Germans, I mean, there's reports that have been coming up for a long time saying that, you know, women that want to increase their breast size, you know, don't go through all this plastic surgery. You should be drinking more hopsy kind of beer, like a thick ales and stuff like that. IPA obviously has more hops in it and stuff like that. So, I mean, if guys are guzzling it back, you might have a propensity to some boobs.
Ed, here's the thing. I'm an American, okay? Here's what we've done over the last couple of years. We figured out how to grow long, gnarly beards, right? And we figured out that IPAs are very tasty. We're actually about to be on a hop shortage because craft beer is so far on the rise. It's like one of the fastest growing industries within the United States. Everybody wants to have a craft beer. Everybody wants a double, triple IPA. We are guzzling this shit down like it's oxygen, right? We are breathing this stuff. So our men are turning into women over here. So we did not know that about Germany. We're not well traveled like you. We're not royalty from France. We're not going to Jamaica and helping people. We're stepping over the homeless people in San Francisco saying, get out of my way. We're not as well traveled as you, which it sounds like you want to say something, but this is going to lead into what I want to do next.
I read that all on a fortune cookie, man.
Well, you made it sound very, very, smart, we'll put it that way. See, I can't even come up with another word other than smart. I can only come up with a five-letter, single-syllable word. This has been a blast. I should point out your latest album, Letters from High Latitudes. It can be found on iTunes. I think they can find it on your website, edroman.net. Speaking of iTunes, you know, this podcast goes on iTunes. If you're listening to this, you know, click it, give it a review, say you like it, say you hate it, I don't care. Just give it a review. Let me know that you're listening to it. But you've been doing music for a while. You've obviously seen the whirlwind of activity in terms of technology that's hit us with regards to file sharing, with regards to the advancements in computer-modulated sounds. Where do you stand on technology with regards to music? Is it helping? Is it hurting? It's probably a little bit of both, but where does this work for you? I mean, is it good or is it bad?
Well, I might be dating myself here, but I have material of mine that's on vinyl.
There you go.
Some people in their 20s and 30s can't say that, but I, you know, technology is a tool, and it's also has grown with music, and music has grown with it, whether it be the necessity to create a new instrument because somebody wants something new, or how does this instrument get recorded from even just the basic aspect of the human voice? All of that has been something that has you know, grown this amazing field of ideas, musicians, eras of music, genres of music, and the ability to share it. Technology, what I find about interesting today is that it's becoming more and more integrated into people's lives, where they're less, once again, tactically driven on an instrument or something like that, and more geared to punching a phone or being on a computer. And there's still validity in being able to create art using that aspect. But I think it's important for me, and maybe I sound like an old fart for saying it, but it's a tool. And you can either build a house with a tool or you can hit yourself over the head with it. And I always like to say, I don't know too many carpenters that go to sleep with their hammers. And that's what I mean, is people are taking their phones to bed. It's like so integrated into our lives that for me, I have to have that earthy rootness to what music is. And even the quantized aspect to what music is for me makes it artificial sometimes. I like the roughness and the edge to music. And Charles Mingus would say things like, you know, he would purposely write things that would make musicians struggle because it was difficult to play, because that would somehow illustrate in a different way the music and the intensity or even the subtle aspect of what needs to be there. And I think removing that is also, you know, people talk about taking the mojo out of stuff. It's the same kind of thing, but it can still be there. But I think it's dangerous to rely on it. That's all.
I think that explosion that you just heard was somebody's head trying to figure out who Charles Mingus was in my audience. So Ed is from Canada. I love my Canadians. They're easy. They're an easy target. But one of the things first of all, you're a songwriter. You know, you're a musician, which I immediately consider you to be smarter than most people. Sorry, rest of the people, but you probably don't get that anyway, so it's fine. You've traveled the world, which means I think you have some knowledge to you, and you're actually coming back. You're coming to the United States, New York and Pennsylvania. Your first show, July 25th at Auto Shrunken Head in New York. That is a great name for a lounge bar, whatever that happens to be. Now, before we go any further, here's the thing I want to do. Since you are Canadian, I want to test your knowledge of the United States. I have a theory that you're going to do very well on this. You don't have dual citizenship, correct? You are 100% Canadian.
Born, bred, and raised, but I mean, both my parents are Slovak, so I'm first generation Canadian.
So what I did, these are actual questions, and if you're in the audience, you can listen to this and participate at home or in the car or wherever you possibly are right now. But these are actual questions taken from the naturalized citizen test of the United States government. These are questions that are given to foreigners who want to become a U.S. citizen. And the reason why I think you're going to do pretty good at this, but here's what we're going to do. You've got a lot of stuff going on in your life. You've got touring dates. You've got songs. You've got websites. You've got a social media presence. You've got a lot of stuff. So I picked five questions, and here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you the question. I'm going to give you multiple choice answers. You're going to tell me the answer. If the answer is correct, we're going to plug one of your things that you got going on. If the answer is incorrect, we're going to plug one of my things, because I'm worldly too, and I've got shit going on. So as much as I think you've been a fantastic guest, and I'm hoping maybe down the road we can do this again when it makes sense, but I'm rooting against you right now. So, here's what we're going to do. We're ready for the challenge. We've got five questions. This is to see how much you know of the United States. And quite frankly, I think you're going to embarrass the rest of the U.S. citizens who are listening to this. So we'll start off with what I consider to be an easy question. Now, these are real questions. I have not altered this in any way. Question number one, which of the following states borders Mexico? Is it A, Arkansas, B, Alabama, C, California, or D, Florida?
California.
The answer is absolutely C, California. There you go. You got the first one right. So you can check out edroman.net, where you can find him and all of his touring dates at Auto Shrunken Head on July 25th, New York, New York. July 26th at the Bitter End in New York. July 27th at Pianos at the Upstairs Lounge in New York, New York. And July 28th at the Parkside Lounge, also in New York, New York. You got a good solid week in New York with your appearances there. So yeah. there's plug number one. So that's how it works. We understand how this works now. This is good. Okay. This is one that I also think is pretty easy, but I can feel that maybe some people might not get this right. This is one of those ones where people get wrong and you go, how did you get it wrong? So question number two, name the U.S. war, and we've been in a lot of them, name the U.S. war between the North and the South. Is it A, the War of 1812, B, the Civil War, C, World War One, or D, the Revolutionary War?
1812.
The correct answer is actually the Civil War, the North and the South. So you are absolutely incorrect on that one. But you know what? You actually get a pass because you're Canadian. My fellow Americans, I almost guarantee there were some Americans out there like, Revolutionary War, that's what it was. It's actually B, the Civil War. So since you got it wrong, this is good for me, right? So I mentioned it a little bit earlier, but if you haven't been there, go to sammarcoux.com, brand new website, just changed everything on there. You can check out all the tour dates on the far right. You can check out all the latest podcasts, including this one with Ed Roman right there in the middle, as well as some of the photos of some of the guests that have been on in the past. And on the left-hand side, you'll see everything you need to know about me. So sammarcoux.com, M-A-R-C-O-U-X, the X silent, sammarcoux.com. Great, good. Okay, question number three. We got three more of these. This one's a little bit difficult, okay? So I'm not going to hold it against you if you get this one wrong. Maybe some common sense as to what this is. It'll dial in, hopefully. So question number three. How many justices are on the Supreme Court? Is it A, 12, B, 11, C, 9, or D, 10?
12.
The answer is actually 9. And the reason being, you have to have an odd amount in order for them. The Supreme Court makes all these decisions, these life-changing decisions. You have to have an odd amount in order to have a majority there. So the answer is actually 9, not 12. And since that's
jury,
since that's the case, you can find me on July 3rd at Tommy T's in Pleasanton, early show and late show, 5 comedians for $5. Go on TommyT's.com or you can go to SamMarcoux.com and find all your information on how to get there. All right, question number four. What is the name of the United States national anthem? Is it A, God Bless America, B, Star Spangled Banner, C, My Country, 'Tis of Thee, or D, America the Beautiful?
Star Spangled Banner.
Like a true musician, you absolutely got that right. The answer is the Star Spangled Banner. You are 100% correct. All right, so that means we got to plug in for Ed here. A couple of things. You can find Ed on his social media page if you go to facebook.com/EdRomanMusic. You can go to twitter.com. I'm a follower of his, Special Ed Roman. And then also on YouTube, you can find his videos as well as other things he's got going on, including the Jamaica video that he just released. Actually, I guess that's another plug. Special Ed Roman at YouTube.com. So there's that. And let's go with one more question here. Let's just make this one. Let's make it work for this one here. Okay. Question number five. Out of the four names, which one wrote the Declaration of Independence? Is it A, George Washington, B, James Madison, C, Thomas Jefferson, or D, Abraham Lincoln?
James Madison.
It is actually Thomas Jefferson. C is the correct answer out of those four, which means you have gotten two of the five.
Tommy.
Tommy's the man. Tommy also owned slaves, though, so, you know, he wasn't perfect. But, okay, so I would venture to say maybe we need to keep you in Canada, sir. You got two of the five, which means I don't think you would be a citizen here in the United States. But what that does mean is I get to talk about how on July 8th, I will be in Sacramento, California, at the Sacramento Punchline, along with Kabir Singh, Comedy Central's Kabir Singh, myself, Jeremy Curry, the great Jeremy Curry, who got me started in this industry, as well as a couple of other fantastic comedians. So come check it out Wednesday, July 8th at the Sacramento Punchline in Sacramento, California. Now, those are the five questions. Thank you for being a good sport on that. I do have one other thing. It is something that we do every week on this show. And in fact, if you go to sammarcoux.com and you click at the top, you'll see a link for the best worst joke of the week. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read you the joke. If you know the punchline, feel free to shout it out. If you don't know it, I will tell you the punchline and then we'll critique the joke about how bad it is. Okay. So this joke comes from Rachel Fiorio from Nebraska. And she writes in, what do you call a belt made of watches?
Belt made of watches.
Yes.
Time, still time, da 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 da. Admit, kidney.
A waste of time.
A waste of time.
It's a very punny play on words. I don't know if I can use that joke on stage.
It's a little grade three.
Yeah, I think I could use that with my aunt, right? My aunt is in her 60s. I think I could, you know, go to Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner or something and hit her with that joke. She would laugh and then feel comfortable about the fact that I go on stage and tell jokes for a living. But
I
no.
I like it. The kids would like it, but it might not work on stage in Sacramento.
It's not going to work on stage in Sacramento, July 8th. You're absolutely right. So there it is. What do you call a belt made of out of watches? It's a waste of time. Much like that joke, that is the best worst joke of the week. Thank you very much, Rachel Fiorio from Nebraska. You know, very, very talented musician, very smart man. Ed, thank you very much for being on the show, Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things. Ed Roman from edroman.net. You can find him in New York starting on July 25th. You can find him in Pennsylvania after that. Check him out on Twitter. Ed Roman. Oh, Jesus, where are your plugs at again? It's all there. You'll find it in the liner notes of this as well. Thank you very much, Ed. Again, Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things. Until next time, you guys keep drinking, but not beer, okay? Switch. We don't need those brosiers out there everywhere. Thank you, guys. We'll talk to you next time.
Inside a hidden rift. That's this and not Babylon. This and not Babylon. Have a homo Bob, Molly, Peter, Tosh, and Jimmy Cliff. Hold your hands and wave them.